We continue on the Cavs-Celtics talk as we head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Welcoming in Brian Scalabrine, NBC Sports Boston, SiriusXM NBA Now. Brian, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm sitting in the garden. The court is all green. The Cavs are warming up. It's going to be a great night here in Boston.
How are we feeling about the cup courts? Because we just had that conversation.
So you guys, the maroon, it was not as bad as I thought. Red is awful. Pink, awful. Grays are my favorite, but the green looks pretty good.
Oh, kind of looks like a tennis court to me, Brian.
Yeah, a little bit. Good call. Really good call. Like they're playing on AstroTurf.
Yeah, a little bit. what would a win mean for the Cavs against the Celtics tonight?
Massive. I think they're for real. Like, if you just look at all their numbers, the way they're clutch scoring, they're shooting. I love the second unit where they bomb threes. Their inside play, 2-point field goal percentage. They're just operating on a really high level offensively. And if you come in here and you win a game that has some meaning behind it, I think it would mean a lot. Like, I get it. The Celtics aren't fully healthy without Porzingis and everything like that. But I can't imagine that the Cavs throughout this whole season are not for real throughout the entirety. If they stay relatively healthy and they can probably carry a few injuries, short-term injuries, they're going to be right up there. It's not the best record in the East, or right up there with the Celtics in the number one or number two seed.
So it feels huge from the Cavs side of things because we're the little brother in this exchange. You guys just gentlemanly swept us in the second round of the playoffs last year. From the Boston perspective, is this the kind of game you think that this team would get up for?
Yeah, I'm assuming yes. We've had our fair share of we're not sleepwalking. That's not the case because, you guys have seen it when you had LeBron. Like, I'm sure every team circled the calendar. Oh, we're going to play against LeBron. Oh, we're going to play against the champs. Oh, we're going to bring our best effort. Like, we're getting that this year from Toronto to Detroit to all those teams in the East. And we're not playing, consistent basketball as of right now. I mean, our record is fine, but we've been punched in the mouth a few times. We had to go to overtime to beat Toronto the other night. And, they had the game of their life. But, I think when you look at like Cleveland and the level that they play at, they play very similar to the way that we played last year. They're getting up and down the floor. They're moving the ball. Their assist is up. Their field goal percentage is up. And it looks similar. It just looks smaller. Like, your team across the board from all your wings and stuff like that are smaller than what you would say our wings are.
So what is it exactly you like about this Cavs team from last year to this year? I mean, Brian, I think the Cavs team that you guys played, the Celtics played in the postseason last year, entirely different. I mean, no Jared Allen for that entire postseason or the entire second round. This year, obviously, Darius Garland's taken a massive step forward from where he was last year as well. Mobley has taken a step forward as well. What is it that you like so much?
I mean, I like the Cavs. I like Allen and Mobley. I like their defensive versatility. So, and I've always been a Darius Garland guy. I'm actually was surprised when he didn't start out better than he did, and then he finally kind of hit his stride and became an all-star. But, I like their team. I think if you had to say, one weakness, they're just, they're small. Like, across the board, they're a smaller team. And it's hard. Like, if they can rebound at a high enough clip, they're going to be fine. I think it's going to come down to that. Can they get stops and defend and defensive rebound? Because and then another thing that will happen tonight, if you want to look from a strategy standpoint, like, the Celtics are going to try to pick on Darius Garland. Can they rotate the bigs around those guys to protect them? They're going to try to post those guys early. They're going to try to keep the bigs away from the perimeter. So we'll see a lot of that. But, the Cavs check all boxes. The one concerning thing would just be their positional size from one all the way down. Like, they're not a massive team. We have a 7'2" Porzingis and Al Horford at the four at times, but we won a championship last year with Al Horford playing the five, but we're pretty big across, our wings, and Tatum 6'9", Jaylen Brown plays bigger than he is. Same thing with Holiday and White. Like, our team just plays a lot bigger than what they really are.
Brian Scalabrine on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline ahead of Cavs-Celtics. It's a cup game. It's a streak game. It's also kind of important, for the eventual tiebreakers that we can have the conversation about. One of the interesting things that I think, as a former NBA player, you can speak to this better than anyone else. I've been really shocked at how Kenny Atkinson, for some in Cleveland, has been lost in the shuffle. because they fall back on the narrative that head coaches don't matter in the NBA anymore. What do you think about just that working theory that coaches are relatively unimportant?
No, I don't. I'm not. So I just think, well, I can answer that question really quick, right? So load up another question. In a league where the margins are so small, the head coach, I would say your four assistants, your bench coaches are important. Your training staff, your chef is important. Like the margins in the NBA, where everybody knows everything that they're doing. We spend $1 million. Every team spends $1 million a year on film. Like every small little margin that you can get makes a difference. So no, it's not. It's head coach. It's GM. It's ownership. Like all this stuff matters, you know. And ultimately, like players are the ones that are definitely, you know, making plays and how you win games. But you know, the difference between you winning and losing a game could be one or two possessions. So if you want every advantage you can get, and I think Kenny Atkinson is doing a really good job with this group, and I like their commitment offensively. I like their spacing. I like their passing. And I like the fact that he had one game where they weren't defending, and he called them all out. They won a game, and he eviscerated them in the media about not defending. So, like, that stuff makes a big difference.
Do you like watching these games and then realizing when you go to the box score that a lot of the Celtics games just rely on, did we shoot the three ball well or did we not?
I mean, it's more than that. It's how well you get downhill. You know, it's how well you attack the rim. It's how well you defend the rim. Do you defend without fouling? Do you adjust to the game? There's more than just three-point shooting. And it's just like the end result, it's easy to say, look, we just missed shots. But there's just so much more to it. Like, how are you getting those shots? And I would say, like, in anything, like in any sport, there's a process to everything. I don't know a lot about football, but I'm assuming – you know, hey, they missed tackles today. They got tackles. No, it's like there's way more involved to all that. So I just think, like, when people – that's just an easy way of looking at it. Hey, it's a make-miss league, but there's a process to all that. And that's how you – and there's a reason. Like, you guys bomb threes, but you're also right now number one in NBA history in two-point field goal percentage. So is it just about threes? What about that? Like, what about that side of it? In a world where they used to just live by the two, you guys are dominating that area. And I think you're dominating that area because you do bomb threes.
Brian, there's a lot of people crowning the Celtics as the next dynasty. And because of the era we live in, maybe, I'm just not ready and I'm not there yet, even though I think they're ridiculously talented and awesome to watch. I'm just curious, like, have you crowned them? Do you think it's fait accompli that they're going to be a dynasty?
Well, I don't know. What's your definition of a dynasty? Like, four championships, three championships. Like if it's, yeah. I can't go there because like we have an aging Al Horford. You have Porzingis who, you know, he has some injury history. So if those two guys were 27 and 28, I might be able to do that. But we don't know how much longer Al Horford has left. He was a big part of it. If we don't have Al Horford last year, I mean, I don't know, maybe we win, but I don't know, man. Like, he is so valuable for our team. He makes big shots for our team. And then Porzingis, you know, like, but if you were to tell me, like, for the next 5 years, Al's going to play at this level and Porzingis is going to be healthy, then I would say, okay, we can start talking about that. But, you know, like, those guys are getting up there and Porzingis has to figure out a way to stay healthy. And if they do, then, yeah, we can start talking about a dynasty and all that. But, you know, in the NBA nowadays, man, I mean, look at, like, Joel Embiid won the MVP 2 years ago. And look at the guy now. Like, he's just moping around the floor. He looks awful out there. So you can't take anything for granted in this league.
Are the Cavs getting rewarded for running it back with the core four and a lot of the same pieces from last year? I feel like continuity in the NBA, we see it with Boston, we see it with the Cavs. It's not there in the rest of the East the same way.
No, I think they're getting rewarded for being patient with Allen and Mobley. Like, there's probably a lot of talk about breaking those guys up. And then, like, instead of breaking them up, how about trying to make it work first? Because you have defensive versatility. They don't have massive size. Like, you're not sitting at it like a Mitchell Robinson or Isaiah Hartenstein. They're not big like that. But, man, they are quick off their feet. They can guard the perimeter. And you have one that can play on the court at all times. It's a definite rim presence. So, you know, like, if people have thought about breaking up, Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell, then that's also being a little bit impatient. You know, like, I think that they've shown good patience, and I think they're benefiting that. Just like at one point, I'm sure there were people out there that thought you should break up Tatum and Brown, And instead of breaking up those guys, they just made adjustments to the roster for those, so those guys could do better.
Brian, we got about 30 seconds here. When it comes to the NBA Cup, do they already need to change it, or is the best thing to make this thing successful to let it be what it is now for a considerable amount of time before changing?
Yeah, I don't know about changing. I kind of like where it's at right now. I think the games are kind of a regular season game, so I'm really good with it. Last year, I think like the first three games, people were like, "What is this?" And by the end, people were trying to beat people by 25. Like, I think we're starting to see that a little bit more. And for a team that's really not doesn't have a chance to win it, this could be a big thing for their season. You know, I'm all in on the Cup, and I like the changes.
Brian, we're all in on this being a damn good interview, buddy. We appreciate you. Great stuff, and thank you for your time.
You got it. See ya.
Brian Scalabrini there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. NBC Sports Boston, SiriusXM NBA. We'll react to what he had to say later in the show, because when we come back, Albert Breer, MMQB, also of Boston Media. We'll talk about the Browns situation, maybe a smattering of Cavs Celtics late in the interview as well on 92.3 The Fan.